You know, it seems like no matter where we live, that we associate ourselves with a certain neighborhood, regardless of whether we rent or own or the structure that we live in, whatever it is, it's part of a certain neighborhood. And don't we enjoy the perks that go along with that, writing a check every month, working to maintain the home, fixing the things that get broken? It's just a wonderful thing to be a homeowner or a renter, isn't it, for those houses? Right. Anyway, the neighborhood may consist of homes that may be maybe even small businesses located in certain regions or an area or a territory that have recognized boundaries that define the limits of that particular area. Say a neighborhood down at 12th and Vine is going to have a little bit different identity and look to it than a neighborhood that's down here at 3rd and Ward Road in Lee Summit. There's many, many different neighborhoods that compose the areas we live. Usually it has its own identity, and it's established by the residents or businesses that may be located there, or it may have been a tradition or a history of that area that had it named by what has occurred there. But I want to try and look at a different type of neighborhood and the houses that might be there. I want to look at the houses that you and I are responsible for in each and every day in our own Christian neighborhood. And this neighborhood has four types of houses, and each has its own identity that makes it important. Part of a neighborhood with its responsibilities and its relationships as we intertwine one with another. There's a meeting place. The meeting place. Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 19th and 20th verses. Again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus here talks about the promise of the apostles and the organizing of the church. No matter the number of believers, if they are gathered together in his name, he is going to be with them. It does not matter where that meeting place is, if they are assembled in obedience to the commands that he has established, with the desire to promote his glory, then he will be present in their midst as they meet. Romans 16, 3 through 5. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-believers, well-beloved, Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia and the Christ. Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned as having received Apollos into their house to help him accept the word and know the word and instruct him more perfectly. The church, the gathering place, is their house. And it's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, 19th verse, that they were being hospitable to one another and to others within the church that's been established and using their house as a place of worship, the meeting house. John, the 2nd chapter, verse 16, he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Obviously here, Jesus is driving the people doing business out of the temple because they were there for their own profit, for their own measure, for benefiting from those of the household of faith. But it's not the purpose. It's a place of worship, a place of true worship for the Father. They were to have proper regard for the glory of God when his true worshipers are gathered together in that meeting place. It's promised from Jesus to his true believers. It's a place to assemble according to his word for him to dwell in the midst of those who have gathered together in the name of God, to glorify him and enjoy the benefits of being together in that Christian family in that place with our Savior and our God as our guide. And it's the responsibility of all family members to help maintain that place where the body meets. The second house, our physical bodies. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Christians are the sacred building that God has brought up from the ground. We need to be pure and holy. We are the place where God and the Holy Spirit dwell here on this earth. The temple in the Old Testament, that was the habitation of God. There's an obligation to preserve it, to have it unpolluted, to have a pure dwelling place for our Father here on earth. I already mentioned that this morning, that we need to care for the body, not allow the things to come into it that would put an odor there that's not a pleasing odor to our Father in heaven. We need to be pleasing, a place for God and the Holy Spirit to reside. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Every day God was present with his people. The Jews benefited that. The children in the Old Testament, when they were on the move, they had a guide to follow God. And each and every day in their heart and their mind and souls, they had something to follow, and we also do. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It's a solemn and it's an important truth that it'd be properly led, cared for, and taken care of, the dwelling place of God. Because he will then lead, care for, and protect us. He will be our strength. He will keep us from the things of the world, so that modern day pharaohs that day after day assault us with the chariots full of spears that beset us and the arrows that would pierce our chances at eternal life if God had not made a defense and a way for us. The third house, the church, the body of believers. Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Peter, in Greek, means rock. It was given to Peter by Jesus when he called him to be a disciple in John, the 1st chapter and 41st verse. He is saying, Peter, you will be the solid foundation. You will be the one who is firm. You will be the one who will tightly hold on to and ground my faith, my religion, the things I want my people to adhere to, and your actions prove it. He would be distinguished, a leader in the support of the establishment of the church, and for those who would follow Christ. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Hebrews 3:6. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all of his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ as Son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Isn't it great to have the opportunity to dwell in a family that has a head that did those things for us? We have the responsibility to give offerings of the heart, to give sacrifices in prayer, to praise each member with a pure and holy heart, breathing praise to our Father with our lips and song in the Spirit. We all fit together, the foundation of God aligned with the true cornerstone of Christ. The fourth house, our Father's house. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Our Father's house. You know, the world and the universe is a very vast place. Well, whose is it? And isn't it God's house? His creation, it belongs to Him, and it has many different parts, of which even man hasn't been able to discover, some of which, though, you and I are able to enjoy while we're here on earth. But there was a promise made that one of those, heaven, would be prepared for His followers. There are many mansions, many dwelling places there, and it will contain the whole of those who will follow His word. There will be plenty of room. Jesus wanted to know, the apostles to know, that He wasn't hiding anything from them. There was nothing new that He could give them, nothing was concealed, but that He would still be with them, but from a different place, in spirit. And He wanted them to understand that for Christians, death is not something to weep about or forever fear. It would only be a change in homes, a dwelling place change, a change in houses. Jesus was leaving to prepare the mansions for the rest of God's truly beloved people. And one day, we will be reunited in our Father's heavenly house. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 10. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in us we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. For indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we, who are in this tent, groan, being burdened, not because we wanted to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. For we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Even our earthly house, our body, should die. There would be a building, an inheritance in heaven, a house made with hands that are not man's. A place of eternal life, a residence that we can enjoy. We're waiting to meet Him in the air, desire to be present with the Lord. And just as a tent is taken down and moved to a new place in this physical world, so too our earthly tent one day will permanently be folded. Down to one last time, the fabric of this world will be folded. It will be placed into the grave to return to the dust that it came from. But the tenant is going to be in a much more beautiful dwelling place. The soul, who was a part of that body, will now arise if it has done on the judgment day what Christ has wanted. Revelations 21 and 22 give the description of that place. Light provided by the glory of God, walls of jasper, fountains and foundations made with precious jewels, gates made of pearl. I want to close with a little poem that I put together titled The Four Houses. There are four houses that exist each day that can affect our lives in a prolific way. Three of them, you and I, are responsible for. The fourth, God has told us what He has in store. For those who are able to maintain the three by His commands, and the stewardship of them that He has placed in our hands. We may wholly care for it in the right way, the meeting place, our bodies, and the church He has blessed us with this and every day. If in that fourth house we want to permanently dwell, the upkeep has to follow His words very well. Holding to the truth of His words very dear, as the unknown time of the judgment draws near. To walk on streets of gold and enjoy the light of His glory, let us continue to live right and to share the story of the One who gave us such wonderful love and follow the will of our Father above dying for you and for me there on the cruel cross of Calvary. His nature divine was so tender and true, the one who bore so much, went and prepared a place for me and for you. That's the neighborhood I want my house in, not the one made by man, but the one prepared by the one who was without sin.